Hi there. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm glad you are joining me for today's God Is podcast. Let's get started learning who God is. Thank you for joining me today from wherever you are and by however you listen, as we meet together coast to coast here in the United States and all the way around the world. Let me begin today with a question. When you are reading the Bible, do you pause and ponder what you are reading? Would you ever think, that doesn't make sense to me, let me read it again? Or, I have a question about that. Maybe you have taken to pen and paper or whipped out your phone and made a note about that which doesn't quite add up in your mind. No, you say, I barely have time to read the Bible at all. Taking notes? I don't think so, Swallow. Well, that's an honest response. Indeed, many people are overly busy. We have all sorts of reasons why we cannot give our most energetic and focused minutes of the day to the Word of God. I hope this is not the case with you, and my prayer for you is that you will be someone who reads conscientiously and carefully, very alert to what God is saying to you, and that when you have questions, you will ask them. And such is the case for us as we journey in Genesis, bridging chapters 11 and 12, in the life of Abraham. We have nearly finished solving two mysteries, the second of which has required two questions. The first was a where question. We answered that yesterday. Today we come to the second question, a why question, and here it is. Why did Terah leave Ur? Why did Terah, the father of Abram, leave Ur with his son? I suppose we could put this in the form of a what question as well. What was Terah's involvement in the command of God? I ask this primarily because of Genesis chapter 11, verse 31. Let me remind you what that says. Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran and settled there. That was Genesis 11, verse 31. If we pop ahead to Genesis 12, verse 1, we read this. Now the Lord said to Abram, meaning that what follows will be the word of God to Abram, not to Terah. And that command God gives is for Abram to leave Abram's country, his relatives and his father's house, and to go to the land that God will show him. If that is the case, and it is, then why at Genesis 11, verse 31, does our narrator, Moses, emphasize that it was Terah who took Abram and Sarai and Lot out of Ur bound for the land of Canaan? In fact, why even mention Canaan in verse 31 of this 11th chapter, when, at Genesis 12, verse 1, God has yet to identify Canaan to Abram? To answer this why question, I want to bring in the ideas of three theologians. These are men, all three now with the Lord, whose theology and writing I find compelling and agreeable. If you've been with us on God Is for some time, then you will recognize their names. The first is H.C. Leupold. In his two-volume work, Exposition of Genesis, he informs us of the Jewish tradition. Jewish tradition says that God's command, this call of God we read about in Genesis 12, was actually given to Terah first. But when Terah failed to obey the command, his son Abram took over and completed what his dad only started. Abram obeyed where Terah failed to obey. This does make sense. The command of God is heard by Terah, the patriarch of his family, and in Genesis 11:31, that is why Terah sets out with Abram, Sarai, and Lot. Following God, they leave Ur and stop at Haran. But at Haran, Terah gets caught up again in the idolatry he was so used to from living in Ur, that Terah just could not break away from the worship of the moon god and his goddess. Whereas Abram did break away from the idolatry and proceeded onwards to the land of Canaan with his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot. So this is Leupold's way of explaining why Terah is emphasized in Genesis 11:31. Terah left Ur with Abram and his family because Terah's involvement in the command of God was significant. In fact, Terah is the one who originally was given this command that we read about at the beginning of Genesis chapter 12. Leupold leans on the Jewish tradition. And so does our next author, Henry Morris. In his outstanding and highly recommended book, The Genesis Record, Dr. Morris, also a renowned scientist and engineer, says that perhaps God appeared to both Terah and Abram and Ur, and the two men, along with Sarai and Lot, all set out together. But when they got to Haran, Terah gave in to the temptation to worship and revere the false gods, whereas Abram stayed faithful to the one true God. Morris cites a scripture we've talked about before, the book of Joshua, chapter 24, verses 2, 14, and 15. Let me read this intriguing and informative passage of the Hebrew Bible. Joshua chapter 2, verses 2, 14, and 15. Joshua said to all the people, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods." Verse 14. "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. If it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves today whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served, which were beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." As this text makes clear, Terah served the gods, small g, beyond the river, which is the Euphrates River. So according to Dr. Morris, again picking up on the Jewish tradition, he says the Lord renewed his command to Abram alone. And of course, Abram then continues and enters Canaan after his father dies. The words of Jesus in Matthew chapter 8, verses 21 through 22 are brought to bear. Let me read Matthew 8, verses 21 and 22. "Another disciple said to Jesus, 'Lord, permit me first to go and bury my father.' But Jesus said to him, 'Follow me, and allow the dead to bury their own dead.'" Abram made the wise choice and followed God to Canaan, leaving the dead to bury the dead, leaving Terah, the dead man, to be buried in Haran. I love what Henry Morris wrote, quote, "What Terah might have been, his son became, a blessing to all the families of the earth." I'll repeat that because it is so good and convicting to us. What Terah might have been, his son became, a blessing to all the families of the earth. So where Terah failed, Abram succeeded. Okay. We heard from H.C. Leupold and Henry Morris, and now we will hear from John Calvin. And I side with Calvin's answer for why Terah left Ur and what his involvement was in the command of God. Let me reread Genesis 11, verse 31, before we hear from Calvin again today. Terah, the emphasis is on Terah. Terah took Abram his son and Lot the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, his son Abram's wife, and they went out together from Ur of the Chaldeans in order to enter the land of Canaan. And they went as far as Haran and settled there. Calvin does not agree that the command of God given in Genesis 12 was for Terah. Rather, it was always, from the beginning, for one man, and that man is Abram. After all, Genesis 12, verse 1 begins, Now the Lord said to Abram. The reason Terah is emphasized in Genesis 11 is because he was the father of Abram. And in that culture and in that time, the honor was conferred upon the father's name. John Calvin writes, quote, Abram had been called of God before he moved a foot from his native soil. That appears too plain to be denied. We do not read that his father had been called. I agree with him. Abram received the command from God, and then Abram informed his dad Terah of what he was going to do in obedience to the one true God. Continuing with Calvin's words now, quote, the divine command to Abram respecting his departure did not prohibit him from informing his father, that his only reason for leaving him was that he preferred the command of God to all human obligations. These two things indeed, without controversy, we gather from the words of Moses, that Abram was divinely called, and that Terah joined his son as a voluntary companion. End quote. It is both sad and tragic that Terah ended his life in Haran amidst such idolatry. But that is where we leave him, and as we move into chapter 12, we follow that one man Abram who is hot on the heels of the living God, setting out for the land of Canaan. Theologian John Calvin, in his commentary simply titled Genesis, helps us to understand something we must always remember, the culture of biblical times. And in that culture, honor was bestowed on the father. That is what Moses is getting at by emphasizing Terah in Genesis 11, verse 31. Mystery solved. Well, that's two mysteries solved, friends. It has been fun to play detective for a bit. Not only fun, but important, because we are dealing with what does not make sense on a surface reading of the text. I hope you have found this useful and that you will join us again tomorrow, for God is. Thank you for listening to this God Is podcast. Drop me an email and tell me what you think. mark@godisministry.org. That's mark@godisministry.org. Please do share this with others, and be sure and join me for the next one.